Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
These are dark times, young Cuke.
What do you mean, Obi-Wan Kenobi?
For over 1,000 generations, organic food like us lived in harmony with the ways of the farm.
The farm?
Yes, Cuke. The farm is what gives us our power. It's a kind of a field that creates all edible things.
Wow.
But alas, the market has been taken over by the dark side of the farm. An empire of pollution and pesticides has ruthlessly conquered the market, nearly wiping out our organic birthright with unsustainable, short-sighted practices like genetic engineering, irradiation, and massive chemical pesticide use. Seduced by artificially lower prices, people don't even want to know where their food comes from. The true ways of the farm are now almost forgotten. But there is a new hope. A growing resistance called the Organic Rebellion is fighting back.
Tofu Ditu, where are you?
You must learn the ways of the farm if you are to join the rebellion and rescue Princess Lettuce.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Wow. Of course, you will need to find friends to help you on your way.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find.
If he saw a shadow this morning, there will be six more weeks of gridlock in Washington, D.C. Here he is, Mike Novak.
One more time! And good Sunday morning to you. I guess we've decided not to have summer. and people in the studio are nodding. I think somebody made an executive decision. I have no idea who that person was, but somebody made an executive decision. Do you have any idea, Helen? Now I see you got to pull that microphone down. I'm going to do this to you every week. Every week.
I'm agnostic on that issue.
Okay. And good morning to you. Now, don't go putting that microphone far, far away from you. At any time, I could look into that booth and say, talk to me.
You haunt my nightmares, Mike.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that. See, it's working. It's fine. Finally, you get the idea of radio.
Don't you have enough people to pick on today?
I do. All right, I'll leave you alone
now. You got
now.
A full studio.
I do.
You don't even have to pick someone
I'm playing
time.
More music, okay? Here we go. We're just going to play more music.
All right.
One more time. And I do. I have a very, very full studio here today. And let me explain why I have a full studio. And that is because... Oh, and I need to pull this thing up here, too, before I do it. It's because of
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
My brand new book, which is called
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
And you guys might be able to hear that a little bit here, but if you put your headsets on, you'll actually hear it better. But you don't need to. It's, you know, it's up to you. On my left. Oh, sure. Yes, you can punch that in. See, you get the drill, Rick. Rick Stabile. Is that even okay? Did you punch the button? Punch the button. Yep, the orange button. No, I don't see it on. There it is. Now you punch the button. And talk into the microphone. Lift that up just a little
bit. Good morning, Mike.
Rick was a contributor to my Kickstarter campaign for my new book.
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
And this was his punishment. Oh, I mean prize, which is to come into the studio and sit in here for 2 hours. And he's brought some other folks with him. All right, who's the guy with the headsets on right now?
Say your name, Pietro.
Pietro?
That's Pietro? All right, get over there. There's another one who doesn't have headsets on, and your name is?
Marco.
Marco.
And I have a cold.
Great, don't breathe into that microphone here, and stay away from me. In fact, go on the other side of the glass. Go in with Helen. Go into the booth. No, she's waving you off. No, Helen?
No.
Okay. You're okay, Marco.
Seems like a very nice young man, though.
And Rick and Pietro and Marco and Maureen, who's running herd back. You can say hi, Maureen.
Hi, Maureen.
She's funny. She's a keeper. they're here because they donated to Attack of the Killer Asparagus. Yeah, you can say yeah. Every time I say Attack of the Killer Asparagus, I'm
yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to do it one more time, and then we're going to do it so that we can record it, and I can play it back as often as I want. You ready? Get over there, Marco. Ready? Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
Yeah!
All right, we have another one for the show. Thank you, guys. See, you've already done a public service for me. Where do you guys live, Rick?
Streamwood.
Streamwood.
In Streamwood.
So you and do you stream us then from Streamwood?
I usually stream you from Schaumburg. That's where I work.
Okay. Which is a different deal altogether.
Exactly.
And Rick has written to me actually many times. I in anticipation of this, I went back to some of the to stuff you've sent me, and I happened to track it down here, and it was a post from January of this year, and you wrote about bindweed.
Ah, yeah, that's interesting stuff.
You were doing some sort of experiment with bindweed, and what's that?
I'm trying to eliminate it by growing buckwheat over it as a cover crop. Uh-huh. The buckwheat sort of crowds out the bindweed, and the problem with bindweed, at least according to what I've read, is that it tends to grow where you have unfinished compost. You have a lot of undigested organic matter.
I've seen it grow, though. We've got, all right, if you look at my community garden, it likes the compost. It likes the grass. It likes the weed beds.
It likes everything.
It likes everything. It doesn't really care. It's not it's not that interested in a pristine area. So, So have you found that any of this works? What's the story?
The buckwheat is working pretty well. I think that also with other cover crops like the annual rye and some clover and some alfalfa, that works too.
Uh-huh.
It just sort of gets the soil back in balance.
Well, and of course, you might want to explain very briefly what a cover crop is.
A cover crop is something that you grow more to bring nutrients and bring organic matter back into the soil.
Right.
And it also feeds the critters that are underground.
You are a smart guy. Do you
Thanks.
Do a lot of gardening?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I've got several raised beds.
I'm not sure you want to be caught with a copy of Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
Nah, I'm fine with it.
Well, welcome to you and your family. I've got the dinger here. And, hey, guys, where's Marco? He's hiding behind there. Look at this. This is my frog. Wait, let me hold it like this. It sounds better. Somebody gave that to me. It sounds more like a cricket than a frog, but close. Oh, wait. Am I doing it the wrong way? I think I was doing it the wrong way. There we are. It's been so long since I've used the frog. Everybody needs a frog in their studio. All right. And the people sitting to, well, between, because you're surrounded by family here, is Diane Blazek, who's the executive director of the National Garden Bureau. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Mike.
It's so good to have you here.
Thank you.
And Julie Tracy, who is with the Julie plus Michael Tracy Family Foundation. Is it supposed to be a plus or an and?
It's an and. Good okay. morning, Mike.
Good morning. In just a second, we're going to be talking about urban autism solutions. We're going to be talking about a grant, an award that the National Garden Bureau is doing for Urban Autism Solutions and the Julie and Michael Tracy Family Foundation, and how they're working on the west side of Chicago in the medical district to get people with autism to garden and to farm. And it's kind of an overriding theme of the show today, because in the second hour, I've got Alicia Moore and Sarah Creech, who are tooling up from somewhere near Indianapolis. And I'm very grateful that they're coming to the program today. They are with a place called Blue Yonder Organic Farm. They are veterans. Military veterans who have started an organic farm, and their goal is to teach other vets to farm, not just as a way to make money, but also as a therapeutic venture. And so you can see how the two are kind of related, and actually we might talk about that and the way those come together. So hang on just a second. We will have all of that going in just a second. Welcome to the Mike Novak Show. Strap in. Everybody's here. We're going to have a great time, and I hope you stick with us.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I've got great news about Natural Awakenings Chicago. We're now available throughout the city and suburbs, from Lake County to the Indiana state line. So if your sustainable business is anywhere in Lake or Cook County, we want you to be part of our magazine. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakenings than any other magazine to help lead happier, healthier, and greener lives. If you own a green business or offer healthy living or wellness products and services, you should be working with our marketing team to get your message out to our targeted audience. Natural Awakenings is distributed in more than 1,000 Chicagoland locations, and our readers are looking for products and services just like yours. Join us, won't you? We're online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
This is Mike Novak with a message from the Illinois Hydrilla Task Force. Dense mats of aquatic plants at your favorite fishing spot or swimming hole can really get in the way of summer fun. You can help protect Illinois' lakes and streams by keeping a lookout for the aquatic superweed hydrilla. It's already been found in neighboring states and impacted boating, fishing, and water sports. To learn more, go to hydrillahunt.org and report any suspicious aquatic plants you find. Your neighbors and fellow water users will thank you.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
In
the Green Room with Mike is brought to you by Christy Weber Farm and Garden at CWFNG.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
And as I mentioned in the Green Room today, we've got Diane Blazek from the National Garden Bureau and Julie F. Tracy from the Julie Michael Tracy Family Foundation / Urban Autism Solutions. Thank you both for coming in person and being surrounded by family. Family Stabler here.
So glad to be here.
Let's start with you, Diane. Let's start with a Facebook post that I just got because I posted last night, as I always do before my show, to let people know what's going on in the program. If you ever want to know what's happening on Sunday morning, head over to Facebook or Twitter or my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. I post everything there. And I posted on Facebook last night, and Lorna just typed in, yes, I believe it can help. Well, the question is, actually, I believe somebody else tweeted, one of my wonderful staff here, can gardening help autistic adults make their way in life? And Lorna says, yes, I believe it can. Both of my children are on the spectrum, and certainly for my youngest, I think it's essential. So I have to ask you, Diane, what caught your eye here? The National Garden Bureau has been around for
94 years.
Holy smoke.
Wow. Yeah. It's quite an old.
Have you been executive director the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold my age well, don't I?
Yes, you do. I was just going to say, I'll have some of what she's having, all right?
It's fresh fruit and vegetables.
Oh, exactly. There we go. This is the first time you're doing something like this.
It is the very first time we've done a fundraiser like this. And what our organization wanted to do was find a therapeutic garden that we could support. And so we were connected with the Julie and Michael Tracy Foundation through some connections at the Chicago Botanic Garden. And what attracted us to this is just the overall message and how they're approaching gardening. I mean, this is not your typical garden. It's a vocational therapy garden. Mm-hmm. So therapeutic garden is huge. It's kind of trendy right now, but I think more and more research is coming about.
Let me stop you right there, because I went to the National Garden Bureau and I saw what you had posted on your homepage about the different kinds of gardens that are out there. Among them are therapeutic gardens. I'm going to go to that page right here. Here it is. And you talk about healing gardens, rehabilitation garden, enabling gardens, meditation, contemplation gardens. And I've said this before, so this is nothing new. I think all gardens do that, mm-hmm. all of that. It's just a matter of degree. Mm-hmm. But let anybody into a garden, they're going to get healed. They're going to feel there's going to be therapy there. There's, enabling maybe a little bit different, but meditation, contemplation, yeah.
Exactly.
All of that stuff. So I think that any garden is that, whether it's a food garden, whether it's a flower garden, whether it's a lawn. I mean, if that's the best you can do, that's probably going to help in some way.
Exactly. Just get outside and enjoy it and be in that garden, whatever type of garden it is. And that's what National Garden Bureau is all about. It's, we want people to get out there and enjoy their plants and flowers.
So you want to raise $50,000 to this effort so you can pass it along.
Exactly.
To the Julie and Michael Tracy Family Foundation.
Right.
Part of what you're doing is on Indiegogo.
Right, yes.
And I thought people should know that because you've got, I think, 7 days left on this, six or seven.
For phase one, we're planning on doing it in several phases, yes.
Okay, so how are the phases going to work then?
The plan is three phases, each with $10,000 being our goal, and that's $30,000 in cash. And then we're also getting $20,000 in product donations from the horticulture industry. So we're looking for things like the cedar timbers that they're building the raised beds with, an actual greenhouse, seeds, plants, you name it, anything that can go into this garden.
So with phase one, you can go to, you can go to my website, or you can go to National Garden Bureau, which is ngb.org. And right there on the homepage, you'll find all kinds of ways to link to the Indiegogo. And the great thing about Indiegogo is if you don't make the whole amount, you still get whatever you made, and they take a little fee off of it, depending on...
Exactly, yes. That's one of the reasons we chose Indiegogo.
Yeah. I did the Kickstarter for Attack of the Killer Asparagus, and then you sweat bullets until the end of the...
you do, right. It gets a little tense.
It does. It's just, as you get closer and closer. But they tell me, and other folks have told me that as you get to the end of the period where people are supposed to donate, there's a hockey... hockey stick shaped curve that goes up and people get on board. And this is such a good cause. I don't know why people wouldn't do this. Go to my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show and look at the headline, Fighting Autism with Gardening and Farming. So that takes us over to Julie, who has put this together. Now, is this the name of your farm is Growing Solutions Farm?
That's right.
And you're in the Illinois Medical District. And according to the information I have, you've got 28 16-foot raised cedar beds, 50 smart pots, 58 earth boxes, a full-time grower, and a farm operations manager, Gwen Godwin, who we were hoping would be here, but she's otherwise engaged. When did this start?
Well, we started last year, Mike, with about 900 square feet and 48 earth boxes. We called this a pop-up garden, and in 1 year, we've been able to expand to this 1.2-acre space. We made a commitment as an organization to really put together the most beautiful project that we could so that we could use all of the wonderful opportunities that we've been given. We have a number of collaborations right now. We're working, like you said, with the Illinois Medical District and the leadership there. They've donated the land to us. We work with the people at the Rush Autism Assessment Research and Treatment Center. We work with the University of Illinois Extension. We work with the Chicago Botanic Garden. And using all of the strength of the collaborative partnerships, as well as the Chicago Public Schools now and the Easter Seals Autism Therapeutic School, we have been able to expand this drastically. So we changed from 900 square feet to an acre and a half in a year.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a lot of space to work with. That means you need not just a lot, but you need a lot of volunteers, I imagine.
Well, what we need is, as you mentioned, we need the farm operations manager, Gwen, and we need a job coach, a full-time seasonal job coach on site working with our 20 to 30 participants who come every day. So that's really the cornerstone of the program. I think that's what's made it so successful.
And where do the participants come from?
Right now, the participants come from the Chicago Public Schools. We have 10 kids from Al Raby High School. They were selected because of the excellence of their teaching staff and because they are an autism-specific program. Our other participants come from the Easter Seals School that's in the Illinois Medical District, and we have our own program participants who are residents in our first urban residence that we just opened in June for adults with disabilities, young adults. So we have our own program participants as well.
Getting to the nuts and bolts, do you find there's a difference between how children with autism and adults with autism relate to a garden?
Well, we are specifically focused on the adult population, so I don't know if I'm the perfect person to answer that question, but I think that, in fact, we are able to use some of the specific talents and strengths of young adults with autism using this horticulture environment to teach mm-hmm. them problem-solving skills, job skills, social and communication skills.
As a matter of fact, if anybody has a question or a comment, 773-763-9278 is our phone number. I'd love to hear from you, especially if you have an autistic child or an autistic child who's now an adult and who happens to work in a garden, or you've thought about that and wonder how that works. You know, I was doing a little research on this and found something that Claire Johnson wrote at the Chicago Botanic Garden. And she says she was working in the spring and summer of 2013 with two organizations and schools and led weekly horticultural therapy sessions in their outdoor gardens. And she said there were three primary benefits that she observed. And these are, you know, these are her words. I just thought it was interesting because it was so close to home here. Quiet fascination and stimuli reduction. And I read about that other place. Let me get back to that in a second. The other thing was the ability to follow direction mm-hmm. and tactile sensory integration. Now, that sounds a little jargony, but the point is the stimuli reduction thing is what interests me. Because apparently, and I looked at some of the other writings on working with autism in the garden, the world is full of stuff, mm-hmm. especially in the 21st century. We have just I don't even know how non-autistic adults get by. I sometimes just want to lie in bed and pull the covers over my head. And everything we've got attracting our attention, our cell phones and our cars, and the population is crazy. And if you're not paying attention to the TV and you're not up on pop culture, you're a loser, and et cetera, et cetera. And then you go into the garden,
mm-hmm.
and it just, oh, it's all gone away. And I can, yeah, exactly. That's sort of,
yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, and the other thing that makes a lot of sense is that we're able to take the garden and put the structure into the work that goes on in the garden, Mike, that makes it so therapeutic, so organizing, so productive, and so instructive for our program participants. So, in other words, every day when the kids come to the garden, or the young adults, we don't know quite what to call them. They're somebody's kids, mm-hmm. but they're not kids.
Right.
They are assigned a group and specific tasks that are clearly laid out for them by the job coach and the farmer. And it's through the completing the work of those tasks from the beginning to the middle to the end, and working in the environment that we've created with our raised cedar beds. Everything is numbered. Everything is completely organized. Everything has a place.
And I imagine you can walk through it at a proper pace so that people can follow. You've got 10 minutes. Get this done.
Exactly. Well, the environment supports individuals with disabilities by keeping them organized.
Yeah. Well, and getting back to that whole idea of following direction, I don't know if it was on your site or someplace else that I read that in the garden, one of the things that you can teach is, okay, here's a plant. Here's how you take it out of a container. Here's how you dig a hole. Here's how you put it in the hole. Here's how you pat it down. Here's how you water. And then you do the same thing again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not always exactly the same way,
right.
but it's similar.
That's right.
And I would imagine that's very soothing.
It's not only very soothing, it really builds confidence.
Yeah.
Because when you can learn a skill without somebody prompting you every step of the way,
mm-hmm.
our goal is to reduce the number of prompts that our participants need. And when you can repeat a task and it's laid out for you clearly, that's exactly the outcome.
That's
the story that we really want to tell.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So what happens from this point, you know, it sounds like, I mean, you've already got an acre and a half, which I assume you haven't completely filled.
That's correct. I think we're at about 13,000 square feet of actual growing space.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
that's a lot.
That is. Now, what happens when you harvest?
The harvest right
now. And is it all food?
We have some flowers as well, but.
I would hope so.
We do.
Well, you need pollinators for one thing.
Yes, exactly. Right. But
flowers are also a way you connect with nature. There's just something completely gratifying about watching something bloom.
Absolutely. Well, and our harvest days are Wednesdays and Thursdays. Most of our harvest this year is being donated to food pantries that are right in the area of the Illinois Medical District.
Mm-hmm.
A small amount of our produce we're using in pilot sales in farmers markets that we've been able to work with a distributor and set up farm stands at local hospitals. So we had a farm stand at Rush. We were part of a farm stand at the VA. And this, of course, teaches a whole nother layer of skills to our participants: sales, marketing, customer service, and they get to see the commerce side of this business, which is that you get money for what you grow.
And do you have your folks working at the markets as well?
Oh, absolutely. They're staffed.
So again, it's the satisfaction of seeing it plant it, see it grow, harvest it, and watch other people buy the food.
Exactly, exactly. And we've been so lucky as well to have a grant from the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity that allows us to employ 20 of our participants this summer. So they're getting a paycheck every 2 weeks for the work that they're doing, which is also extremely reinforcing and motivating. As you know, if you were ever 20 years old,
no.
It's nice to have a paycheck.
No, I skipped that. I totally skipped it. I remember, barely. I was in college.
Just a few years back.
Yeah, yeah. That's wonderful stuff. So how does this move forward? I mean, do you intend to expand this to have satellite programs or just expand what you have at the medical district now?
Our immediate plans are to expand in the site that we have. So if we can put up a structure that will allow us to be more year-round, allow us to offer more program opportunities. We are, though, in the process of looking at taking our program and our spreadsheets and putting them around the country so that we can teach other people how to quickly put together the kind of operation that we've put together.
That's a really good point. Are there other operations like this in the country? Are you the first? And if so, have people taken notice?
I would say that we have been told, again, that we've been one of the fastest growing organizations in the country in terms of establishing an urban farm for people with disabilities. There are agricultural communities for adults with autism, but in terms of using this urban model, I think people are very interested in what we're doing and watching what we're doing and seeing if they can recreate the same thing, for example, in New York. That's probably where the next one is headed.
Well, you're the National Garden Bureau. Are you talking to the people in New York, Diane?
Exactly, yes. Thankfully, through Julie, we met several organizations a couple weeks ago. But that's one of the big factors that we thought was so attractive about this project is it could just be duplicated in a lot of other urban environments. And so we thought, okay, well, we'll help build this first one through our fundraiser. And then if we can attract other people in other cities to do a very similar thing, then that might be our next fundraising project for future years.
I'm noting here that that we're getting tweets from people who really like this idea and Facebook posts. I also noticed that there's a tweet that Maureen put up there of her family, so that's okay with me. You know, I didn't realize, Rick, you had the whole media, social media thing going here. Very good.
Well, I am a computer programmer, so I...
Oh, okay.
I know about that.
I mean, may need your help with that at some point.
Yeah.
In the studio, I have Diane Blazik from the National Garden Bureau and Julie F. Tracy from the Julie and Michael Tracy Family Foundation, Urban Autism Solutions. Since I have you here, Diane, not to get off the topic of this, but what else is the National Garden Bureau focusing on? Because you do a lot of things.
We do, yes. We have several programs that we're doing. One is a year of, so we always promote a year of an annual, a perennial, and an edible. So this year we have Year of the Echinacea, which is great. We were talking about pollinators.
And isn't it also the Year of the Cucumber?
It is the Year of the Cucumber.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, it is.
I got lots of cucumbers.
You got lots of, and so do I. For some reason, I think my cucumbers knew that it was the Year of the Cucumber, and they responded accordingly.
Oh, yes. I told them about it very early on this spring. So I think everybody's cucumbers are doing
it. Sneaked
that.
Into my garden.
Yes, yes.
And said, actually, our community garden, because our cucumbers have done very, very well.
Good, good. Glad to hear
Can
that.
Can I ask you a question about the cucumbers, though?
I'll try to answer. I'm not the cucumber expert.
Rick, can I ask you a question?
I'm not a cucumber expert either,
okay.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I've wondered about this. The cucumbers that get kind of orange on one side, have you experienced that?
Yeah, just this year. I'm wondering what that is. I'm just cutting them off and putting them in
the
compost.
We're eating them. They're fine.
Are they
and
good?
And they taste fine?
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Then eat them. Yeah.
Well, we will. I just want to know why it, you know, and so.
Is it the same variety
any
you've
of my
planted
any,
other years?
You know, in our garden, in our community garden, whatever variety is there is a miracle, okay? It's like, who knows what varieties show up in our garden. We just.
I'm guessing it's all the water because this year we have had
that's
so much
kind
water.
Kind of what I'm thinking, or related to sun. Don't know, but
I was thinking a sun scald, but then I'm like, well,
no,
we
it's not a scald.
We haven't had
sun. More like a sunshade thing. And I, you know, and now I have to get a cucumber expert on the show. I mean,
I can hook you up with a cucumber expert.
I bet you can. Well, yes. You guys are doing the year of the cucumber.
Right, right. We'll find out for you.
So you've got echinacea is a flower. Cucumber is veggie.
It's the edible veggie, yes. And then petunia is the annual.
Uh-huh.
Petunias.
And petunia?
Oh, there's so many petunias, right?
Exactly. I mean, and how can anybody not like a petunia?
Right, exactly.
But
there's one for everybody.
Including, you know, waving petunias and
and trailing petunias.
And trailing petunias. Are you going to be at represented at IGC this year?
I will
be
in attendance.
By the way, people don't. I shouldn't use acronyms for folks who don't understand what I'm talking about
right.
here. And that is the
Independent Garden
I was going to say international.
Show.
No, it's Independent
right.
Garden Show, where the Independent Garden Centers, it's IGC, Independent Garden Center Show. And Independent Garden Centers come to this show, and it's one of the biggest horticultural events of the year. In fact, probably the biggest horticultural event of the year.
For retailers.
They come to Navy Pier and they schmooze and they have, there are booths that are people who sell products. A number of my sponsors have booths over there, and then they talk to the Independent Garden Center folks who wander by, and it's a big deal, and it only started a few years ago.
Yeah, I think it's
six or seven.
Years
yeah,
old,
that's
right?
what I'm thinking.
And a lot of the garden media come, and so bring this back around, but we're going over to the Growing Solutions Farm on Tuesday morning so that I can show a lot of these garden writers the farm.
Oh, is that because the show is next week?
Yes.
I had forgotten completely.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. You grabbed a bunch of folks and said
exactly.
You got to come over to the Growing Solutions, so you'll have. Your best foot forward, you're going to gussy it up, are you?
It doesn't take much. It looks pretty good the way it is.
It does look really good.
Has it been doing well this year?
It is spectacular.
It looks phenomenal.
You'll have to come
to come with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Come
over what day
us
is that?
Tuesday morning.
Okay.
We'll be there at 10 o'clock.
All right. I have to check my schedule. But if I can't make it Tuesday morning, I definitely want to go
over.
There'll
be another day.
Time. Anytime. Yeah. We give tours every day. The gardeners
give tours.
Oh, do
you really?
Yes, the farmers give tours. So
who comes out to the tours?
Well, we have a lot of visitors. We have a lot of interest. People
how find do people us on find out about this?
Well, they see us on social media. They hear about us. They see us at a market. They check us out on the website. And we have a lot of neighbors and people in the district that come for tours as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids give the tours, so they do a great job.
And that's what I think is really neat. The kids are giving the tours. And so I had asked one of them, so, you know, what has happened after you've been working in this garden? And he said, I used my words to learn how to give tours. And that's really big with a young adult with autism, to be able to speak freely to strangers that are coming to visit
I
the garden.
I am blown away.
I
can't get my staff to talk on the radio here, okay, and to have these folks come to the, or, you know, work in the garden and then be able to explain what they've done to strangers.
It's remarkable what we've seen. And we actually had the master gardeners out for a party one evening, and we did not have our tour book with us, Mike. And two of our gardeners gave the impromptu tour without any support. They had learned so much, they just did it off the top of their heads, which is pretty remarkable.
Well, Julie, I think that's a measure of how comfortable they are.
They really are, and they really own this information and what they're learning. I mean, they're very, very, it's important to them.
Well, if folks want to come and see the garden, obviously, you give tours.
We give tours. We're very happy to. You can drop by, no appointment necessary.
And you can do that by going to jmtf.org, and you can find information about Growing Solutions Farm, or you can also go to the National Garden Bureau at ngb.org. N as in Novak, G as in garden, B as in boy. NGB. Well, it might be hard to understand. You're laughing at me, Diane.
Well, our acronym suddenly got changed this morning, didn't it?
Did I do it wrong? Wait.
No, it was good, but we think it stands for National Garden Bureau, but you changed it to Novak Garden Boy.
Novak Garden Boy. I like that. Let's do that.
That's fine with me.
You're right. I don't think always think as clearly as I could. But all of that information is on my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show. Diane and Julie, I want to thank you so much for coming to the studio. Can I have a round of applause in the studio for See, you don't always have an audience like this in radio.
Sometimes very appreciative.
Very nice. But,
thank you for the opportunity. Oh, thank it, you. It's it, wonderful
it
to
is
be here.
Absolutely my pleasure. And I'm going to get over there and see it. And good luck with the and folks, you gotta help them raise the $50,000 in cash to support this garden and go to the National Garden Bureau or the NovakGardenBoy.org. And take a little bit out of your wallet, and I think you'll be doing it for a very good cause.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In the Green Room.
Yiddy.
In the Green Room with Mike has been brought to you by Christy Weber Landscapes at ChristyWeber.com, right in your own backyard.
Mosquito bites are painful and itchy, and mosquitoes can carry West Nile virus and other diseases, but there's an effective organic way to kill mosquitoes. Mosquito dunks are America's favorite organic mosquito killer because they kill mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. The active ingredient in mosquito dunks kills mosquito larvae before they become flying, biting, disease-spreading adults. Just float a donut-shaped mosquito dunk in ponds, birdbaths, fountains, rain gutters, or any place where water collects to naturally kill mosquito larvae. Mosquito dunks are deadly to mosquitoes, but harmless to pets, people, fish, and other wildlife. Each mosquito dunk treats up to 100 square feet of water and will kill mosquito larvae for up to 30 days. So don't let disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Stock up on mosquito dunks. You can find mosquito dunks and mosquito bits at home centers, garden centers, and hardware stores.
Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to IllinoisSolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at IllinoisSolar.org for more details.
I just play the music so I can rock and roll. You guys rocking and rolling here too in the studio? You having fun?
Oh yeah, thanks.
It's still on.
It's still on? Is it too loud? Did you say it's too loud or it's still on?
I can hear it.
You can hear it? You can still hear it? If I do this?
Yeah,
wait, put that back on. If I do this, can you hear it better?
It's loud.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
You know, that's how I do it.
You can adjust it right there.
That's how I roll in the studio. This is why I'm going deaf, okay? Hasn't your dad played this for you before?
Hey, I've sung along in the car with it.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's Rick Stabile, who's he's a friend of the show, and he helped us with Kickstarter, and that's why he's here with his family in the studio, and they are my special guests today, and I'm happy to have them. And Mr. DeMaio's on the phone. Give me 2 seconds, Rick. I just want to let folks know, and I'll tell people in the second hour as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That next... Wait. We got to do this one more time. Remember, you know what happens every time I say those words, right?
Yeah.
Attack of the killer asparagus?
Yeah!
You guys are great. Oh, except when you do that.
Don't blame me. Blame my friend, Fishak.
Your friend, Chuck?
Fishak.
Oh, Fishak? Fishak is
gave
sick?
Him the cold.
Get the wipes out, folks. Okay.
We're cold for going what to a new heck? School. Like a
we like you, oh, we yeah. just don't like your germs.
I'm in first grade.
Oh. Okay. You know what? And I have the power to turn off your microphones, which I just did. All right. And mom and dad are like thumbs up. They're like, total thumbs up. Okay. I want to let folks know that next Saturday, I am out at Rich's Fox Willow Pines, 11618 McConnell Road in Woodstock, for their Hosta Sale and Bolivian Arts and Crafts fundraiser. I will be sitting there and signing Attack of the Killer Asparagus and Other Lessons Not Learned in the Garden. I will be there from 9 to noon. However, the whole Hosta Sale and Bolivian Arts and Crafts fundraiser is 9 to 4. But if you want to catch me there, it'll be 9 to noon. All proceeds benefit Heifer International. This is what Rich and Susie Ayer have done forever. They have donated so much money to Heifer International. And the sale of the Bolivian handicrafts benefits Mano a Mano International Partners. This year, Heifer marks its 70th year, and Mano a Mano its 20th year. So, and in addition to this, the nursery is going to have speakers who will talk about various things, and we'll have speakers from those organizations talk, and I'm going to be there. So, you can go to my website, MikeNovak.net. This week's show, it says join us at Rich's Fox Willow Pines on August 23rd. And that's right at the top of the page. I hope I will see you there. I hope you come by, get a copy of Attack of the Killer Asparagus, and I'll sign it for you, and have some fun out there. What a beautiful place. If you've never been to Rich's, you got to go. You just got to make the trip up there at least once to see the wonderful conifers, specialty conifers that he has, and you're going to be absolutely amazed. All right, let's go to the phone. Bring in meteorologist Rick DeMille. Rick, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. I like that the ability to turn off a kid's microphone. That's pretty interesting. I guess it makes that statement, children will be seen and not heard, go a step further. Children will be not heard and not seen, especially since you're on radio.
There you go. And don't you wish you had that control?
No, it's fine. I mean, I grew up in a family with five kids, and every once in a while, even when I was at my folks' place last week, and I go, Mom, Dad, how the heck did you do it? And they just said, we did it. Although, I think when the heat was on and the kitchen was hot, I don't think they actually said it in such a nice way.
No.
But, speaking of Rich and Sue, I've known them off and on now. Off and on meaning that I may bump into them occasionally at events every 3 to 5 years. And I think I've known them now going almost 15, 16, 17 years. And Mike, you really hit the nail on the head. Even if you don't want to buy anything, just to go out there and to see what they have is really, truly amazing. We talk about the Morton Arboretum and the Chicago Botanic Garden. But when you go into their, I don't know, what would you call it? I guess it's almost like a nursery museum, isn't that right?
Well, yeah, it's a kind of living conifer museum.
Yeah. And it's just, it's absolutely beautiful. And all you do is just walk around and you just go, wow, I would love to do something like this. And I always say, Rebecca and I were up at a wonderful forest reserve in Lake County yesterday. We were just walking around going, I wish I had this as my backyard. And I guess that's why we have people like you and people like Rich around to provide us with the impetus to do that. So, again, hats off to you for being out there next week, and I hope it goes well.
Well, I'm going to have fun regardless because Rich and Susie are gracious hosts, and it's such a beautiful place to be. But I hope I can entice a few more people to come out. And, again, I'll be there from 9 to noon, but they're Hosta Sale. And that's the other thing. What's kind of fascinating is they've got all these conifers there.
Right.
And so they have these hosta sales, which started Rich's mom, Margaret, who's 90-something, like 93 or 4 now.
Probably, yeah.
And was in charge of it until a couple of years ago. And I suspect she still helps divide some of the hostas up there. And mm-hmm. Margaret, if you're listening, I'm giving you a great big kiss. Yeah, just like soupy sales, you know, and I give you a great big kiss and whatever. I have to get that clip, too, of soupy sales saying that. So,
Or at least the end of the Newlywed Game, right?
I guess something like that, yeah.
Is that the end of the Newlywed Game or the end where they would actually date? Oh, the dating game.
Was it the dating game? I don't know. I see.
We're dating ourselves.
I'm old school, baby.
Rich and Sue, they're also at the garden show on Navy Pier once in a while, aren't they as well?
Oh yeah, Rich is always he's always got an exhibit at the flower and garden show. You always count on Rich being there.
Yeah, and I think you clearly discussed exactly what it is. It's literally an exhibit, and it's not just a nursery. It really is an exhibit. Mike, it was interesting. I was walking around yesterday, and I said to myself, "Wow, I'm actually seeing some of my neighbors' cherry tomatoes on the vines in their backyard turning red." And I said, wow, for the first time last night, we had a warm, kind of humid summer evening, and then it all changed around 4 o'clock this morning when the cold front came through.
No kidding.
Yeah, so a fleeting return to summer is now gone, and back to low overcast clouds at 400 feet and visibility is at 3 miles, and I'm sure there's a lot of people going, I wish I would have went to the Air and Water Show yesterday. But it's not like the weather people actually helped anybody out this weekend, because I think all of us were saying Thursday and Friday that we were going to get, you know, bouts of, you know, thunderstorms or potential thunderstorms on Saturday, and some of them could produce heavy rain. And, you know, just like we had last week and the week before that, the promise of storms kind of came and went to the south of us. So here again, areas of central Illinois, which has been just under the gun for thunderstorms for the last almost 3 weeks, you know, had almost 2 consecutive days of rain. We got nothing yesterday, and by and large, you're going to get nothing again today except just some low clouds, and we'll be lucky to see 68 degrees along the lakefront today, and hopefully we'll clear these clouds out where they can at least get half of the Air and Water Show, meaning the air part, in, because it's not a very nice Sunday out there.
It's not conducive to planes flying around, I take it.
Well, you know, not the ones that people want to see along the lakefront. And, you know, strangely enough, you know, looking at water temperatures, Lake Michigan right now, the southern buoy, sitting at 65 degrees, which is about 4 to 5 degrees below normal. Northern buoy of Lake Michigan, about 62 degrees. That's about 5 degrees below normal. And most of the other Great Lakes are still about the same, anywhere between 3 and 5 degrees below normal. And again, here it is the middle of August. And this is kind of like the weather you should have in the middle of July. And then we look at, you know, hurricanes. You've heard about these 2 different storms move through the southern areas, or at least areas near Hawaii. We had Izelle and then Julio. And you're thinking to yourself, well, we're already up to the letter J in the Pacific Ocean, where they've actually had not so much warm water, but the conditions conducive to forming hurricanes. We always mentioned to people that you need 3 things. You need warm water, you need some form of low-level convergence, and some form of upper-level divergence where the wind is spreading apart. And oddly enough, the Atlantic Ocean hasn't had the last 2. They've had the warm water, but because of that, and with the fact that we've only had really 2 storms, just recently the Hurricane Center and some of the people who forecast for the Hurricane Center have actually lowered the percentage of storms occurring from near normal to below normal. And you think to yourself, well, wasn't global warming and climate change supposed to create, you know, more hurricanes? And yeah, they were, and we've had a few, but this is definitely something that when people do discuss how climate will change and how it will be altered by warmer oceans, you got to remember, it's not, well, if I put my hand on this button, I push it, something will come out of the hole. That always doesn't happen. It's a lot more difficult than it sounds. So it's not like we want hurricanes. It's just that it looks like the pattern right now is not conducive to forming them. It looks like it's going to stay that way probably over the next 2 to 3 weeks across much of that part of the world.
You know, this raises an interesting question, because people in Chicago look at the weather we've had. And unfortunately, as you've pointed out many, many times over the years, you hate calling it global warming,
right.
Then you get an anomaly like what's happened in the Midwest, and people say, well, I don't see it. And of course, they're not looking at the big picture. They're not looking at data from all over the planet. They're only looking at their tiny little home in the Midwest. And yet we have had some of the hottest weather. I understand, was it California that had like the hottest July ever?
Oh, yeah. Not only the hottest July ever, but also the driest. And oddly enough, one of the things that has kind of led to the warmer temperatures out there was the demise of what was supposed to be a fairly strong El Nino.
And right.
It was interesting to note that, you know, back in, I think it was April and May, you looked at the heat content of the Pacific Ocean in that particular area, and it was easily a degree and a half to almost 2 degrees. It was easily a degree and a half to 2 degrees above normal centigrade. And then all of a sudden, by the way, I'm walking my dog. That was me calling.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, hey.
That's okay.
I thought you had a kind of Tourette's thing going on there. I was ready to hit the panic button.
That's sometimes that can happen. No, but what was happening was the Pacific Ocean looked like it was going to be in a situation where you could actually produce warm water all the way across the southern part of that region that is conducive to El Nino. And then pretty much in the last about 2 to 3 months, all that has actually begun to change a little bit, not dramatically, but just enough where it went from a moderate chance to basically nil, almost like less than 50%. And part of that is due to the fact that there's been so much more thunderstorm activity and also some tropical storm activity in the western Pacific. So while this is not, you know, something good for long-range forecasters, each time we go through one of these cycles, we go, okay, this is why this happens. And I think similar to, I always like to relate things that happen in the weather world to what's happening in your garden. And you've seen it too. You go, you know what? I planned it this way, but it didn't come up this way. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you do it another way and you go, okay, that works. I think I'll do that.
Yeah.
So I think we're all still learning from that standpoint. But yeah, it definitely looks like the warmth and the dryness will continue out west. And cool weather for here in the Midwest.
All right. To give us a forecast for the week.
Okay. So clouds today, temperatures upper 60s lakefront, low 70s inland, and then it looks like it basically just stays fairly cool. Relatively speaking, normal high is 82, basically below normal temperatures Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but definitely warming up in the low to mid 80s for the end of the week. Best chance for rain Thursday and Friday at this point.
On certain stations who will remain unnamed, they're talking about us flirting with 90s by next week. Do you see that?
No, I don't. You know, even 7 days ago, it looked like we were going to be flirting with 88 or 89 this weekend, and that definitely changed as well. I think persistence by the time you get to the middle part of August works at this point.
Okay. Rick DeMaio, don't trip over your dog, okay?
No, we're fine. We're chilled out right now. Literally.
Yeah, literally. Okay, well, enjoy your Sunday. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye. In the second hour, we have a couple of farmers. I'm very excited to talk to them, Alicia Moore and Sarah Creech from Blue Yonder Organic Farm. They're working with vets, teaching them how to work the land as a way to make a living and to get better.
It's the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
You thought you'd set the bar. I never try to work it out. We just lit the fire.
Welcome to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. You can always follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. You can catch podcasts of the show at MikeNovak.net. I usually have them up a couple of days after the broadcast. You can stream us live at MikeNovak.net or on ChicagosProgressiveTalk.com. And I want to make sure that all of you go to my homepage and the list of my great sponsors. And they are great sponsors. They keep me on the air, and you should pay attention. If you want programs like this, You got to pony up. That's the way it works. You got to pony up. It's the way of commercial radio. So support them. Tell them you support them because of me. And then everybody's happy. And that's the way it works. And I'm happy, for a couple of reasons. One, I got this tweet from Dave Coulter. He says, been saving your book for vacation reading this week. Hey, Dave, it'll take you about 20 minutes to read the book, and then what are you going to do for the rest of your vacation? I'm just telling you. I'm just saying. You know, and I'm going to have to get copies for the two people who are in the studio right now, my two guests. Now, I'm going to have to say this, and I'm going to get in trouble, okay, because I expected a couple of farmers to walk in the door.
And that's what you got.
What's that supposed to mean? Hey.
A couple of babes show up, okay?
Nice. Haven't heard that one lately. That's cool.
Well, it's probably because you probably don't wear these outfits when you're farming.
No. And we smell a lot worse, too, so you're lucky. We're clean today.
You smell pretty good today. I want to.
No chicken poop here. We changed our shoes, don't worry.
Oh, good. You know, when the station comes after me and they're going, who's tracking in the chicken poop?
You know who to blame.
And they do, because what show is going to do this on a Sunday, when they come in on Monday morning?
Exactly.
I'm very pleased to have Sarah Creech and Alicia Moore in the studio from Blue Yonder Organic Farm. And just so folks know, it's real easy. Just go to blueyonderorganicfarm.com.
Yeah.
Wow. I couldn't even get my own name.com, but you guys got your farm there. And I have to tell you, Sarah, you have one of the best email addresses ever, because
thank
it's
you.
S. Creech or Screech.
Yes.
I love Screech.
That's, yes.
I mean, it's
that
very.
That was an accident.
Of course it is. But it's as almost as good as. Well, it's in the ballpark with my friend May Barenbaum, who is a professor at University of Illinois, and she's an entomologist, and her name is May, M-A-Y, Barenbaum, which starts with B-E, and it's maybe at whatever
nice.
It is. I like that.
Maybe. I like that. That's a better one.
It's an easy one to remember, but
exactly.
Screech is pretty easy to remember, too. And the great thing about Sarah and Alicia, you're both veterans, military veterans.
Yes, sir.
Where did you serve?
I was in Iraq for 2000 through 2004. I was a translator, and I was helping out with convoys, even though I was translating. And I was in Baghdad and Najaf and El Kut and Diwania, kind of everywhere the Army sent me. They said, okay, we're going on convoy today. You're going to drive.
So you're your Army.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir. That's right.
And you, Sarah?
I was in the Air Force.
I assumed that. I was hoping somebody was in the Air Force because...
And I'm proud of it.
Of course. But, you know, the Air Force was going to be really unhappy if you named it and you weren't actually in the Air Force.
No.
So you got the Army and the Air Force represented here at
Absolutely.
This farm.
Yeah.
Where were you?
I was in Qatar and then a couple different places throughout the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I worked as a surgical nurse and did a lot of trauma work. So... And then stationed in California.
So you flew, or did you fly at all?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I did
so
not
you,
fly.
You just did the
mm-hmm.
surgery.
They came to us.
Yeah. Okay.
So
my dad was a medic in World War II.
Mm.
So I know a little bit.
Tough job.
Yeah. Not a job I would want.
Yeah.
No. Thank you for your service, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Now, Alicia, how many languages do you speak?
Just a few. Arabic and French were my Army languages. So that's what I translated for the Army.
Uh-huh.
They taught me Arabic in California. I was very fortunate to learn Arabic in Monterey, Defense Language Institute. And I was there for about a year and a half learning Arabic.
So how good would you say you are at Arabic?
Now, not really so hot. It's been a few years.
Yeah, you got to keep it up,
don't
you?
I was pretty good back then. So, right now, not too hot. I can still read it and write it, but...
When you were translating, was it mostly written material or spoken?
It's a variety of things. It's a variety of... Sometimes it was electronic intercepts. Sometimes it was just documents, just mm-hmm. whatever they had me do that day. Whatever the Army needed.
I took French for 5 years in high school and college. No.
Pas trop, hein?
Je peux. What is it? I stink. You know, if I went back and immersed myself in it for about 6 months, I could probably speak really bad French. As it is now, I just panic. You know, I just anybody speaks to me in French, I just panic.
Right.
And that's the thing. If you don't use it, it's just kind of a use it or lose it thing.
For sure.
So when did the idea of Blue Yonder Organic Farm start? And was it the two of you together or one of you? How did that happen?
Well, it's Sarah owns the farm. I work on her farm.
Okay.
So do you want to explain how you did it or how I met you? Okay.
So do you sometimes sing, not going to work on Sarah's farm no more?
Never. Never on those hot, hot days in the sun. No.
Exactly.
Well,
it's
you haven't had any hot, hot days in the sun this summer.
But the ones we did have, I was out there and I remember them. Okay. So it's all good. It's all good.
So Sarah, how did this start?
Well, I actually moved out to a farm in January of 2012 after my husband died from colon cancer at the age of 36.
Oh, my goodness.
I was living, we were stationed in Florida, and after he died, I kind of literally spent 6 months on the couch saying, what am I going to do with my life? Like, I stopped working at the hospital. I really didn't know what to do. And my sister called me one day. She was living in Indiana, and she said, what are you going to do with yourself? And I said, honestly, I don't know. I said, I just want to buy a farm out in the middle of nowhere and move out there and just hide away. And so that's what I ended up doing. I went onto the internet and I found a farm near about an hour from my sister and bought it on the spot. And
really? Just impulse buy?
Totally impulse
buy. How many people buy farms on impulse?
I saw this
on the internet.
On the internet?
On the internet?
On the internet?
On the internet without seeing it. Yes, that's correct.
Oh, my goodness.
I sent my sister out there just to make sure, but yep, made the offer and then ended up moving out there. And it turned out to be one of the most life-saving decisions I've made in a long time. So I moved out to the farm. I actually got a job working as a nurse for an insurance company and kind of did the farm when I got home. So I'd work all
just
day
yourself?
Long. Just yourself? Just by myself.
Just you. And how big is the farm?
43 acres. Which is a lot for a farm by yourself when you're working another job.
Oh,
let me just tell you.
But I can't handle my backyard. Let me tell you that. I got a backyard in Logan Square. I can barely keep up with it.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. It's a lot of work. But I kind of threw myself right in there. I started planting some trees. I put in an orchard, about a half-acre orchard, planted 42 trees. And that was the summer that it was so hot with the drought, and every day I would go out there with my hose and water my trees, water my raspberries. I put in a couple hundred raspberry plants, you name it. So I kind of went hog wild on that. And then after a year, I was still having a lot of trouble working the full-time job, and just nursing was hard. I think I had enough. It's hard to helping people sometimes.
You had been doing it for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went to this conference called Arm to Farm. It was through ATRA and NCAT. I don't know if you're familiar with those organizations.
I am not. Could you explain what they are?
NCAT stands for
for appropriate technology. But it's like
we're probably slaughtering these.
It's sustainable farming. It's okay. Small farming.
It is.
I don't know why they call it NCAP.
And they're programs through the USDA, but they're all
for
sustainable farming. So they started a brand new program. It's for military veterans to learn about agriculture. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go there. So I drove down. It was in Arkansas, and that's where I met Alicia.
Yeah, it was Arm to Farm last summer, and I had just finished a graduate degree in Vermont, and 2013 kind of sucked for me. So I'd finished my master's, and I studied sustainable development in graduate school. And in 2013...
When you say sustainable development, what kind of sustainable development?
My area of emphasis was agriculture education and how societies educate farmers. As many of you know, as you guys probably know, in the U.S., we don't have enough farmers to meet a growing demand for food. The average age of the farmer is 60. Nobody's replacing him. So these were things I was looking at and how to get more people into agriculture, because we have a lot of agriculture graduates, quote unquote, But these are people who invent biodegradable plastic or go on to, you know, they trade commodities at the Chicago Board of Trade. They're not farming. And so I just was researching this and I got my degree and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And while I was in graduate school, a really good friend of mine who I loved and I adored, he was a military buddy. I knew him for 10 years. He committed suicide. He'd done two tours overseas, two combat tours. And, you know, I thought everything was okay with him. And so when he took his life, I was heartbroken. And then 6 months later, another friend of mine took his life. So that was not easy. So I started thinking about the things I'd learned in graduate school, and I started learning about things like the Farmer Veteran Coalition, which trains military veterans in agriculture, and how veterans are finding healing and purpose through farming. And so this whole vets to ag movement, quote unquote, it's kind of happening. I mean, it's a quiet movement, but it's a new sort of trend in agriculture, and there's programs all over the U.S., and I thought, you know, maybe I could do that. Well, A, I'm not a farmer, and B, I had no money. So I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I went to Arkansas, heard of Arms of Farm through a friend. I applied for the program, and they accepted me. And then I went to Arkansas, and I met Sarah, and she had this real passion for veterans. And she had her own farm, and she, you know, she was doing it. And she told me a little bit about her farm and her livestock. And I said, well, I'd like to come work on your farm. And that's kind of where it started. So I moved down last year from Michigan, and after my degree was done. And we've just kind of been trying to put the pieces together and make a farm. So it's been an interesting journey.
Now, you also got involved with the Land Connection.
Yes.
Yes.
They're in Illinois, well, the Central Illinois Farm Beginnings Program, but that's in Illinois.
It's in Champaign. Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you find out about that?
That was another thing. We spent a lot of time on the internet, apparently. But that was another program. Alicia came in September to the farm, and we had started talking about putting together a farm that really focused on military veterans, both offering that kind of peaceful, healing place for them to experience, but also to offer training, business training, and starting up agricultural enterprises by military veterans for the community. So we went online, and I found the Land Connection, which offered a 10-week program. It was through the winter and through the spring. But basically, the program is set up to help people that are interested in starting farm businesses. Some people come in already having some farm experiences, but a lot of people are just going there saying, I have a dream about building a farm, and I want to create a business for my family, for myself. So the Land Connection helps to educate and to basically train you how to make a business plan and to make that dream happen. So they have several different programs. It's a great organization, great website.
Yeah, and I've got that on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. I've got a connection to the Land Connection in Central Illinois Farm Beginnings. I work up here with Angelic Organics Learning Center. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're nodding. You know about them.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And, well, I've seen them on the internet.
Oh.
I mean, it's been a lot of time.
This is
right?
Where you said you spent a lot of time on the internet. Do you have internet out of your farm?
Amazingly enough,
we do. Oh, right goodness. On the outskirts, but we have it.
You're the last one along the line,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But they do farmer training here. I've been involved with them and talking to groups that have farmer training, and obviously it's not just about throwing seeds in the ground and you have water and will it come up? And because it's as you said, you got to have a business plan.
It is a small business. You're a business owner and you're producing a perishable product. You're producing a product which people don't understand where it comes from or the amount of effort to raise livestock or grow food. So you're educating and farming. You're educating your consumers as well and trying to make money.
Well, speaking of livestock and other things, what is it? What do you have on the farm now?
Well, right now we're focusing on pastured meats, mainly on pastured chickens. Everything's organic. Chickens.
Are you certified
turkeys.
Organic?
We are not able to certify until next year because I won't have had the land for 3 years.
Okay.
And the farm was a short sale foreclosure, so we don't actually have the history of the land. the people before. So in order to certify, it has to be three years.
Sure. So, but, you know,
coming up very soon.
That's kind of common that a lot of people use organic techniques, even though they're not certified.
Absolutely.
And if you trust your farmer, and that's the whole idea, get to know your farmer so you know the food. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that the people you sell to trust you.
They do.
Although you don't know what was on the land before, so you have to have that 3-year waiting period.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I do believe strongly in the certification process. I think it's great for farms to be able to say, I care enough about the organic movement to spend the extra money, the extra time, so that you can be, as a consumer, as a customer, know that I am following these practices, that I've been checked out. It just seems like a good thing to me. I like certification.
So you've got, you obviously also have, you said fruit trees, you've got...
turkeys, ducks, we have sheep.
Laying hens for eggs.
We had pigs, but they've been processed, so till next year.
You mean this year, but you'll go back. You're going to do that again?
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely.
What about the crops you grow?
We grow all kinds of produce. This year was our first time with garlic. It was so exciting. Put a little clove in and get an entire
Rick
head
Stabile
of garlic.
Is nodding here. You've worked with garlic too, eh, Rick?
I love garlic.
Me too.
Who doesn't love garlic?
It's delicious.
And then growing it your own.
Exactly.
You know, we grew a bunch of onions this year in our community garden. I swear half of them.
I love onions too.
Onions are great. And watching them grow is cool.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of them got stolen, so I'm not even going to go into that. So there you
seems
go.
Seems like the common thing.
It just it does. You've heard that story before. I don't know what it is.
Good.
That's true. You spend a lot of time on the internet. You went back and listened to some podcasts, didn't you?
Of course. I researched everything. I went on your webpage. I looked in your background. I went to your
Scaring me.
I know.
Did you drive by my house and take photos too?
No.
No, don't do that, please.
But I know how to find it.
Oh!
Satellite images.
She can find anything, yeah. And Helen is in there. Glad she's in the booth and not here in the studio.
Oh, yeah. Always.
But we do have lots of vegetables.
Yeah.
So you've got all this stuff going on. So how many people do you have working with you?
At this point, it's Alicia and I, and then I have family members that come and help us process. We process all our own chickens, all our own poultry.
Do you really?
We do, which is every 2 weeks for us. It's an all-day, pretty much on Sundays, all-day affair. My entire family, we've got the kids. They go and tell all their friends, we're killing chickens this weekend. We're killing chickens. They're so excited. And they actually...
It's a family
it's
event.
It's healthy, though. It's good for them to know.
Yeah, to know how their food is processed. I mean, I'm sure a lot, like mine, a lot of eyes are bugging out here. It's okay, let's get the family and kill some chickens.
But they're good. The kids are not squeamish. It's just a normal thing, and this is where their food comes from. I think it's really, they're great.
That is very healthy for them to know.
They understand,
Right, and they also get this, I think there's an attitude about when we're processing them. I mean, we thank every chicken before we kill them.
Thank you for your gift.
Because people need to know that this is a life, and... Yeah. It's sustaining you. So there's a respect for that.
How does one learn how to kill a chicken?
The internet.
I went on the internet.
You can find anything on YouTube.
Well, okay, the internet and a lot of books.
Yeah.
When I said I spent 6 months on the couch, I read books about farming. I read books about processing. I learned everything from books.
You're an extremely focused young woman, aren't you?
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You are. Yeah, Alicia, are you that focused, or are you in awe of her as
She's a dreamer.
I'm more of the free spirit of the farm.
So I'm looking at left brain, right brain here. Is that
yes,
it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Which makes a whole brain on a good day.
It does. It is a good thing
on a good day. Yep.
But the point of your farm is. Or at least one of the points, you know, obviously to start it was, what am I doing to keep myself alive and for the rest of my life, or at least for a time until I do something different? And it seems as though you've done that very well. Congratulations. I'm quite impressed. In fact, I'm thinking of going down there and hiring out. I'll work down there
sounds
for
good.
You.
That sounds like a great time.
I don't necessarily want to kill a chicken, but...
You have to.
But I'll harvest raspberries or whatever you need.
That's great.
But I imagine as you were doing this, you were thinking about your comrades
mm-hmm.
and the people you served with and know, as you mentioned earlier, Alicia, a lot of suicides.
Yeah.
And for even for the people who don't commit suicide, you know, and I don't, I'm really trying not to trivialize this, but what happened with Robin Williams earlier this week, just, it actually is a good thing for people to understand. Mm-hmm. We live in a very difficult world.
Yeah.
It's hard for a lot of people to cope. We were talking in the first hour about autism.
Yeah.
And those are people who have some kind of dysfunction going on. And now, we can create dysfunction in the world by exposing people to war.
Yeah.
And this is what we have done for the last decade on a regular basis. And we have tens and hundreds of thousands of people who might not have been as equipped for this as they should have been.
Well,
how are you ever equipped for that?
You're not. That's exactly right. PTSD has been around for thousands of years, and it was Achilles who talked about it. And if you research PTSD, there's always been a different name for it. Soldier's heart, the evil hours, shell shock.
Shell shock.
It's always been there. If you research it in the ancient world, it's always been around. And after many major campaigns, Thucydides wrote about it, about the soldiers who just couldn't cope. So it's not a new phenomenon. It just has a different name. And in the U.S., we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide. And both of my friends were receiving mental health care treatment in the Veterans Administration. They were enrolled in the VA, going to therapy, going to group, doing what they tried to do, and it didn't work. Something is not working. So instead of complaining about it, maybe we could do something. And I really think that putting veterans on farms and allowing them to heal, to start that process, could impact them tremendously. It has worked for me and Sarah. I think we can help other veterans, and I think we can grow more farmers. We need more farmers too. So maybe we can tackle two problems at once.
Do you feel, either of you, I know, Sarah, you had to deal with the death of your husband, but before then, did you feel as though your experience in the military was sticking with you in an undue way?
Absolutely. I actually had a lot of traumatic experiences while I was deployed, and I came home and I could not deal with it. And I actually spent just under 6 months in a psychiatric hospital in California when I came home, and then ended up getting medically discharged from the military and really struggled with PTSD. I went through a PTSD program. There's some really great programs out there. But I think it was until, honestly, I met my husband, and there were a few key people that were just able to kind of come alongside me and give me a different direction, which I think farming can do in the same way. I think there's something incredibly strong and healing about that, whether it's spiritual, emotional, mental, physical.
All of it, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, there's something about being able to touch the soil, being able to kind of create life instead of destroying life.
Except for the chickens.
Yes, it's a little more controlled.
It's called.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
No, it's fine.
It's the cycle of life. You see the full circle on the farm.
If you're going to eat
beautiful.
Meat, if you're going to eat meat, you should be able to understand
and
that someone's
too.
Sacrificing.
Yeah, so, they tasted good. Hey, I can't lie. It's good. So I eat meat. I'm sorry. I tried veganism. Can't do it. But
exactly.
So.
But an omnivore myself, all right?
There you go.
What about you, Alicia? Did you have similar experiences?
I did. I was in Iraq. I was driving a Humvee around Iraq, and we didn't have any armor on our Humvees, and IEDs were tearing apart our convoys. But, of course, we didn't have money for armor until I left Iraq. That's when the wonderful Bush administration found some money.
I got to stop you right there. What did the soldiers think about that?
Well, when I was there, it was we're going to catch Saddam. And then we caught Saddam, I think it was December 2003. And then I was like, okay, let's go home. And it was like, no, we're going to win hearts and minds. And I was like, you can't do that. This isn't working. And we had doubts about it then, but we couldn't really voice it. So it was kind of hush-hush. And you just kind of waited out your time because you can't leave. So you just kind of go along with it.
You know, a lot of us back here knew it wasn't working.
It wasn't. And I came home and said, this isn't going to work. And I was told by many people it was going to. And I said,
really?
I just came back from there. And people just, it was like a blank stare. Where's Iraq? I can't find it on a map. They didn't know. And people are so disconnected from this conflict in Afghanistan, too. So, yeah. And it was hard for me to adjust. I miss my buddies. I miss the structure of the military. That's why I like farming. There's structure. There's work. There's physical activity. But I also struggled with PTSD and nightmares. And just not, I don't sleep well. And just being a female veteran is tricky because there's a lot of sexism. You face sexism in the military from the guys, and then you get out and people, I have a license plate that says Iraq veteran, and people say, oh, tell your husband I said thanks for his service, or you're a girl. Did you have a gun in Iraq? I've gotten that too. And it's like, I went to war. I was in combat, you know, and they take that away from me. And I feel like Americans, really, you send women off to war, you don't think they can get hurt as well, like the guys. So it's a very different war, I think, for the females when we come back. Because when I came back and we came back to Fort Polk, Louisiana, this dump of a military base in the middle of nowhere. And the civilians, the locals would buy beer for the guys and they'd be like, oh, you're the girlfriend of these soldiers. And I was like, no, I'm their comrade. I'm a soldier. So it was very weird to me. I didn't understand why America was so gung-ho to go kill all these people in the Middle East, but didn't really want to understand the realities of what was happening to the veterans when they came back.
It sounds like we do this with such blinders. We have such selective vision about what it is, you know, who we're sending, what we're trying to accomplish, how we accomplish it, you know, for instance, without the necessary money and protection for our troops. And the people we send, like you, we don't give them their due when they come. It's just all of it. It's just so wrong.
And I'm not trying to say that America owes me anything. No, I enlisted. Nobody owes me anything. I just don't want these weird comments. You know what I mean?
I get it. I totally.
You don't owe me anything.
I'd have a chip on my shoulder, but you don't seem to have that.
Some days.
But someday. You get to work it off.
Exactly. I go to the farm and pull weeds. It's very therapeutic.
All right. So. Well, we need to break here shortly. 773-763-9278. If you've got any questions or comments for these two wonderful women in the studio, Alicia Moore and Sarah Creech from Blue Yonder Organic Farm. Go to blueyonderorganicfarm.com to find out more. We still haven't even gotten into Homegrown by Heroes and what you guys are going to be doing to be bringing in some folks, veterans, to help you with your organization or get them started with their own farms or working on a farm. Again, 773-763-9278 is our telephone number. If you're looking for something fun to do today that doesn't involve jostling with a million people on the lakefront, you might want to head over to, and I think you know what I'm talking about, all those planes overhead. You might want to head over to Christy Weber Farm and Garden at 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago. It's their third annual sidewalk sale, which wraps up today around 6 p.m., annuals, perennials, trees, and shrubs are significantly marked down. Containers, planters, and bird feeders are on sale. For instance, all ceramic planters 10-inch wide and larger are marked down 20 to 50%. And this is August. We're just in August. Get there early for the best selection. You'll also be happy to know that they've started up their weekday and weekend classes again. You can learn about permaculture, lawn care, organic gardening, container design, and more. And you just have to go to ChristyWeberFarmAndGarden.com, click on classes. But today, just stop by in the Ukrainian village and take advantage of great prices on great garden plants and supplies. Find Christy Weber Farm and Garden on Facebook, online at CWFNG.com, or spell it out, ChristyWeberFarmAndGarden.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I have exciting news to share. Natural Awakening, Chicagoland's only monthly magazine dedicated to healthy and green living, is now available throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Natural Awakenings features articles about fitness, local food and drink, healthy kids and families, even healthy pets. We also cover gardening and environment, sustainable building, energy conservation, and green living. We include local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that in each month's issue, you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a new business in your neighborhood, or something that makes your life better.
Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show. I am just tickled pink to have these two women in the studio today. And the fact that you drove up all the way from Indianapolis is just awesome. Alicia Moore and Sarah Creech from Blue Yonder Organic Farm. I just got a tweet here. You guys got to get on Twitter. Yeah, that's next. You got Facebook covered. What?
Said we keep saying that we don't do it. So.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, I had the wrong mic on there. But yeah, for you guys, I think you'd make a lot of friends out there. I've got the Seed Keeper Company gals, and there are two women here too that have started their own business and teaching people about seeds and how to preserve them, how to grow them, and they're just the two of the nicest people you ever want to meet in your life. And they write wonderful guests helping vets through gardening and farming. Thank you, Sarah and Alicia, for your Blue Yonder Organic Farm. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you.
Isn't that nice?
Thank you.
And
thank you very much.
Get more of that on Twitter.
So. Sounds good.
More of that's waiting out there for you. So one of the things that you let's do two things. First of all, and we'll repeat this. I don't want to save it to the end because people then will forget about it, is that you're trying to raise some money too. You are trying to get veterans on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a group called Veterans in Apiculture and Agriculture, VIAA.
Yes, that's right.
And did you guys start that?
We did. That's our nonprofit arm of the farm because the arm is for profit. So we take on grant money through that website. It is actually fiscally sponsored by the Land Connection.
Right. I mentioned that. And you sent, and thanks for sending me that note about that, Alicia. I've got the information online here. Scroll down to the bottom of this week's show and you will see this. You can donate online through the Land Connection. You can send a check to the Land Connection. And since they are a 501c3, not-for-profit organization, they can accept the money and then they're turning it over to you, and you guys are working on the paperwork right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I would urge everybody to take advantage of this and help these women do some good for vets. Now, one of the ways that the country is starting to do good for vets is a program called Homegrown by Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Homegrown by Heroes. And it was started in Kentucky.
Yes.
But it's taking off pretty quickly, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, this summer they just rolled out Homegrown by Heroes, which is a special designation for veteran-owned farms that you can put on your products, put on your advertising. And it's just a way to show the community, hey, this is a product that's been grown by a veteran. So it's a way that they can support veterans. I think we've got a great culture going on in Indiana and Illinois, in the Midwest, with people wanting to help veterans. They're just not exactly sure how to do that. Yeah. So this Homegrown by Heroes is a great way to highlight some of the ways that people can help. They can buy the products. We actually are the first farm in Indiana to receive the certification. So we're super happy about that. But we're really trying to connect with other farms in Illinois and Indiana and help them get certified as well, so that we can really start this as a movement, so that it it kind of becomes more well-known to the public.
Yeah, it's still very new. It's a USDA program, so it is national. So you can find Homegrown by Heroes products all over the U.S. now.
Well, the reason it resonated with me, because quite by coincidence, I received an email from the state of Illinois.
I saw that.
Yeah,
recently. Where they're doing a cooperation. Yeah, that's great.
And so they just started up Homegrown by Heroes in Illinois as well. And I thought, I got to hold on to this. I've got to, because when I knew you guys were coming on the show, I said, I love it when these things come together.
I know. They did it just for you.
But toward that end, do you have other veterans working on the farm yet, or when does it happen?
We do have veterans come out and visit. Mostly they're just spending time just seeing, okay, what does it look like on a farm? So we've been doing some mini classes with them, kind of taking them through beekeeping, taking them through chickens. We no longer process chickens with
That's probably a good idea. Bad idea.
Yeah,
huh?
They get a mini class when they come out. So they deal with the livestock. They help pick and plant. So it's kind of light farm work. Everyone has found it very therapeutic, and then we will hire a veteran next year. We'll have our first full-time veteran.
And how many do you hope to have on the farm?
Billions.
Actually, next spring is our first formal program. It's going to be a week-long program. It's going to be offered to 10 veterans. Alicia actually received a grant through one of the schools that she did her master's program with.
Yeah, a great organization called World Learning, a nonprofit, awarded us $11,000. So we're going to train veterans in beginning sustainable agriculture. It's going to be based on Arm to Farm, where I met Sarah, the program we went through.
So I from what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're likely not to have a full-time person on the farm, but more likely to do these kinds of programs where they come in for a little bit at a time.
Well, that's our first level. Our second level, after we get that established, we're going to be offering an incubator farm program, where basically it's one or two veterans a year that are interested in starting a farm business. But as you know, the capital startup is incredible to starting a business, especially in agriculture. So this program will offer them. We have a purchased house just down the farm, or just away from the farm. That's going to be the veterans' house. So they'll be able to have free housing there. They'll be able to use our equipment on the farm. They'll have access to about 5 acres that's set aside for the veterans program, where they can actually put their idea into kind of make it work. So the first year, we're going to be offering a salary to them as well as the housing. And then the second year, they're basically on their own. They're using our equipment, but what they make is what they make that year. So it's kind of a step approach to helping veterans start agricultural businesses. And we hope those veterans then, once they start their business, they have veterans come and do the exact same thing, where it kind of balloons from there and everybody helps other veterans. I think that's how movements are born.
But yeah, as the farm grows, we're hiring more labor. So we're growing and expanding. But as you know, it's a slow process.
Yeah.
So we are getting there. But yes, we're looking for more full-time labor.
But it also sounds as though, in listening to Sarah talk and then watching your facial expressions, Alicia.
Oh, no.
You are the right wing, the right brain, definitely. It's not the easiest thing in the world to talk a veteran into coming into a farm.
Nope.
Why? I mean, you mentioned it earlier, the physical work, the connection with the land, All the serenity, the sense of accomplishment, it all seems like this is perfect for a veteran. Why is it difficult to get them to commit to that, even for a short time?
Well, I think society tells us that there's no money in farming, that you cannot make a living. You know, there was an article just this last week going around Facebook and, you know, a lot of these sites. I think it was the New York Times put out an article saying that you don't let your children grow up to be farmers because there is no money. It's a lot of hard work. I think until consumers are ready to realize the true prices of what food costs to produce, especially in a sustainable, healthy, organic way, it is hard to make that living. But I think things are changing. I think people are realizing that cheap food is not necessarily nourishing, mm-hmm. nourishing to the body. I think we've got higher rates of diseases, higher rates of
obesity, absolutely. Diabetes. It's all out there. I think that veterans just don't know. I never saw myself as a farmer in graduate school until I started doing research. And then I saw the Farmer Veteran Coalition. And then I saw that veterans are going into farming. So I think there's just not enough awareness yet because it's a growing trend.
All right. We've got some calls come in. You've got the headsets on. Let's take a couple here before the end of the show. We'll start with Julia in Homewood. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Oh, thanks for being there, Mike.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All righty. Well, I just wanted to call and say it was just so heartwarming this morning. My daughter and I were listening. She's 19. And she was listening to the girl's story. And I just wanted to say how beautiful it is to take hardship and tragedy and turn it into healing. And I know it's an uphill battle. But I just wanted to say thank you for being there and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. That means a lot.
Julie, you think your daughter might be interested in farming as a result of this?
Well, we have 3 vegetable gardens in our backyard.
Mm, good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. We're lucky because we have kind of a big lot in Homewood, which is a south suburbs of Chicago. And I got into farming. I lost my husband 18 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I started my own little gardening business. People's flower gardens. I just go and do their flower gardens.
Wow. What a great business opportunity.
Good idea.
Everybody needs help weeding.
Yeah.
But gardening is so healing.
And it's, absolutely.
For everything from depression to arthritis mm-hmm. to everything else, because you get your little workout and,
absolutely.
You know, it's mm-hmm. so rewarding. And I'm just so glad you guys are there, and it's so great to hear it.
Well, Julie, we appreciate the comment, and keep on gardening, and I'm glad that you're getting your daughter interested in that as well. And
oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
And I just got a tweet from Dee, who says, so happy to hear about these beautiful, funny, amazing women. Thanks for coming to Chicago. Oh, stop blushing over there. Stop blushing.
We love it here.
And Mud Baron quoted, I don't know which one of you, maybe it was me, maybe it was you. He says the quote, he puts on Twitter, it's not the easiest thing in the world talking a veteran into being a farmer. Oh, and you're nodding. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Amtrak Tim online too. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Mike. Your promo this morning was quite provocative.
What do you mean?
The little skit you guys did at the very beginning of the show.
Star Wars.
About the farm.
Oh, we thought it was great too.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you liked that. Good.
Yeah, and I guess I hate to throw a little water here, but I'm that's my job seems to be on your show.
You never let me down, Tim.
I never let you down, Mike. And I wanted to get your opinions on golden rice as a GMO to help cure vitamin A deficiency in Africa and in Asia. And a follow-up to that is, as we get into this world where we get climate change, it's going to happen. Do GMOs have a purpose to help us, you know, deal quickly with the changing climate in agriculture? Because is organic really going to be able to keep up with the climate as it changes?
do you specifically, I imagine you're looking at me like you don't use that particular seed that he was talking about.
Well, golden rice is specifically a rice developed for Asia and for Africa to deal with a vitamin deficiency.
But I guess the larger question is GMO crops. And if you're going to be certified organic, where do they fit into the scheme of things?
Yeah, certified organic, we cannot use GMO crops. And I know there's opinions on both sides. I think it's a complicated issue. My personal opinion, just as a medical professional and someone who, I mean, my husband had cancer. I think when we start manipulating genes and changing things that are not natural, it concerns me. It worries me about changes we can't see on the molecular level. So I personally am not a fan of GMOs, but I think it's a complicated issue. I mean, there's a lot of levels to that. So I can't give an opinion on that.
Yeah. People in those nations have been farming for a very, very long time. They have farming in their ancestry, and they've been doing it for thousands of years. I don't think GMO is the answer to anything. And actually, it's recently been proven that organic crops are more drought-proof compared to conventional crops. When you respect Mother Nature, you'll get abundance in return. If somebody wants to be a GMO farmer, that's their right, and that's their, you know, that's how they roll. But no, I have no desire to do that, and I don't see GMO as the answer to anything.
There you go. That's the answer I have from the guests in the studio, Tim. I appreciate your comment. Let's move on to Kate in Oak Park. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to thank these lovely women for their service. I appreciate it. My brother was drafted into Vietnam when he was 19. And it seems to me that the poor working class are the one they're fighting the wars started by these rich corporations. I just want to thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate you calling, listening, and calling in, Kate. Are you a gardener yourself?
A little bit. I'm not very successful with vegetables. I have a lot of clay in my dirt. So
yeah.
If you have any suggestions as to what I could do, I have a lot of flowers and plants, but vegetables I really have a hard time with.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll ask that question and we'll see what we get here, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. And what is your soil like over there west of Indianapolis?
Actually, we have fantastic soil. We've been very blessed.
That doesn't help you, Kate, I know.
We do have some sections that are clay, and what we're doing, we're just putting in a lot of amendments. I was blessed with a humongous compost pile when I actually moved there to the farm. And so we have been putting that on. We've been doing cover crops and kind of, you can change the soil. It just takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it does.
It takes a lot of time and a lot of work.
It is not that easy. We're getting more tweets here. Let's see here. Resident hippie. Whoever that is, take a look at Vet Homestead, at Vet Homestead, their website. I don't know much beyond its existence, but happy to connect the dots. And I'm not familiar with at Vet Homestead. Oh, it's a it's providing it's out of Fitchburg, Massachusetts. And it's a Twitter account that he's telling me about. So, you know, people are out there and they're connected. I'm telling you got to get on Twitter.
That's our
as if you have the time to do that, right?
Well, I know the Farmer Veteran Coalition, if you're looking for other farms out there that are working with veterans, they are a tremendous resource. There are hundreds and hundreds of people that are doing programs all over the U.S. That are specifically targeting and helping veterans that are doing this extremely successfully. So we are definitely learning from those other farms that are doing what we'd like to do.
Okay, I'm going
to
put in a pitch for myself real quick because I know you guys are on Facebook and I have I have put your Facebook link up there on my Facebook post. So, and I imagine some of your friends listening to the show.
They better be.
Well, they better be. Well, and now they better. And if they're listening, they better go to my the Mike Novak Show and like it. Okay, I need some likes.
Yeah, it's a deal.
I'm five away from 1,300, so we need to go through the top there. It's not really in the scheme of things. It's nothing. It's like a drop in the bucket. But come on, Help us out. All right, we'll wrap this up in just a second. If you're a gardener and you're like me, which I would not wish on anybody, you like knowing what to do in the garden as the year progresses. That's why Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is so helpful. Each issue, including the current July-August edition, has a feature called What to Do in the Garden. I'm telling you, it's your little helper on two short pages. For instance, for the month of August, their advice is to cut back your scraggly annuals. This is, of course, if you don't have a farm. If you have a garden, well, you'll cut back your catmint, bellflower, yarrow, chamomile, coreopsis, phlox, and veronica. Bare spots in your lawn can benefit from overseeding. Starting about now, if Rick DeMaio is right and it's going to stay cool, start doing it right now. This is, you know, usually we say end of August into September. We're not getting any hot weather. It ain't going to happen. It sure doesn't look like it. So I would say, you know, now the minute I say it, it'll get 95 tomorrow. But no, you know, this is a good time to start overseeding your lawn. And it's the time to plan for your fall veggie garden. Are you guys going to have fall veggies? Do you do a fall, like leafies and stuff like that for the fall?
Absolutely.
I figured you would. She's looking at me like, well, of course. Of course, dummy. Kohlrabi, leaf lettuce, turnips, collards, mustard greens, radishes, spinach, and Chinese cabbage, among others. Then there's my column on the inside back page. The only advice I can offer you is to open the magazine backwards and start there. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, pick one up at newsstands all over town or get a subscription. Go to Chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Mosquito bites are painful and itchy, and mosquitoes can carry West Nile virus and other diseases. But there's an effective organic way to kill mosquitoes. Mosquito Dunks are America's favorite organic mosquito killer because they kill mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. The active ingredient in Mosquito Dunks kills mosquito larvae before they become flying, biting, disease-spreading adults. Just float a donut-shaped mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, fountains, rain gutters, or any place where water collects to naturally kill mosquito larvae. Mosquito Dunks are deadly to mosquitoes, but harmless to pets, people, fish, and other wildlife. Each mosquito dunk treats up to 100 square feet of water and will kill mosquito larvae for up to 30 days. So don't let disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Stock up on mosquito dunks. You can find mosquito dunks and mosquito bits at home centers, garden centers, and hardware stores.
This is Mike Novak with a message from the Illinois Hydrilla Task Force. Dense mats of aquatic plants at your favorite fishing spot or swimming hole can really get in the way of summer fun. You can help protect Illinois' lakes and streams by keeping a lookout for the aquatic superweed hydrilla. It's already been found in neighboring states and impacted boating, fishing, and water sports. To learn more, go to hydrillahunt.org and report any suspicious aquatic plants you find. Your neighbors and fellow water users will thank you.
You know, I should have asked you guys what you were listening to when you were in the force, and I could have played some of that music in the Army and the Air Force. But what did I? Oh, here it is. Kathleen, you can grab this at some point. We're going to get a photo all together. I don't know how I'm going to get over that side, but you can shoot all these folks here. We're in the home stretch here on the Mike Novak Show. It's been an honor and a real privilege to have these two wonderful women in the studio. It's Sarah Creech and Alicia Moore from Blue Yonder Organic Farm. I want to make sure that you head to blueyonderorganicfarm.com and check it out and take advantage also of their Veterans in Apiculture and Agriculture, VIAA. That's their... the not-for-profit arm that they're using to try to get veterans. And I tell you, Twitter's gone crazy with folks who appreciate what you're doing. And this has just been so rewarding. And what I'm going to do is I'll dedicate a podcast to this subject this week so people can find out and be part of it. And and I may actually go down there. I think I might have to.
Yay!
We'd love to have you.
Field trip?
Always got room in the farm for you.
All right. I also want to thank the Stabile farm family. I was going to say farmers.
We've got enough garden.
You do. Yeah. Look at you guys are just the cutest darn things, all of you. They have been here in the studio, as I mentioned, supporters of the Kickstarter campaign for Attack of the Killer Asparagus. And I would need to remind you that I will be at Rich's Fox Willow Pines on Saturday, 9 to noon, for a book signing. The Attack of the Killer Asparagus Summer 2014 tour continues. I hope folks will come by. They are having their Hosta Sale and Bolivian Arts and Crafts fundraiser. And I hope that folks will come by because all proceeds will benefit Heifer International and Mano a Mano International Partners. All right. You know where I'm like early here. I'm like cramming stuff into the last few seconds, although I don't have my ID. So that would be really nice to have an ID here so that I could get into the news. All right. There we go. At this point, you know how the end of the show works, right? Everybody, mm-hmm. You've heard it before because you're always on the internet, Sarah,
right.
Listening to everything. I say, okay, you ready? Here we go. I better bring this down. Go green or
go home.
Love it.